And welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com in Columbus, Nebraska, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-hosts, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Reworkers, Miss Michael of HoodooFoundry.com in Willits, California, bringing us today's topic, Frog versus Princes, how to tell Mr. Right from Mr. Wrong. Afterwards, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as prescribed and defined by the greatest spiritual hoodooist of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at form.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-host, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi. Thank you, Papa Newt. Are things hopping and cooking back there where you are?
Yes. It's in this small little town I'm in. I've met some people that actually want me to start doing little talks on various mm-hmm. folk magic practices, and which has surprised me. So I have a lot on my plate to get that all situated and going.
Well, that's good. You know, people often think, especially in days of the Internet, where we all just stayed connected through the electron world, that we're alone in our little town. And I know when I set up the Lucky Mojo shop, I had anticipated all our sales would be online. And over the years, for about the first 5 years, that was true. The number of people who came into the shop was almost none. And then suddenly, more and more and more people, and they'd say, and I'd say, how did you find us? And they'd say, I found you on the Internet, and you're only 2 blocks away. Because people don't know, you know, that who's around. And unless you had like a storefront right on Main Street, they don't know you. So now we have walk-in customers and clients all the time. But it took them finding us on the Internet. So don't be surprised, Papa Newt, if a lot of people in your neighborhood start looking you up if you tell them where you are.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? There's people all over. And I'm going to say something. I think this statistic is a little on the older side. I believe it comes from the year 2009 or 2011, something like that. I think it was 2009. Somebody did some statistics on how many people went to see a psychic reader, and they found that about one-tenth of all Americans go to a psychic reader at least once a year. Well, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. And they may not all go to the kind of psychic reader that you are or the kind of root worker that you are, but that means that we have a potential to reach a lot of people. And when we think we're out there in the country in a little town of 2,000 like I am, how many are in your town, Papa Newt?
I think 28,000, give or take.
Oh, you're in a 28,000. Well, if one out of 10 went to a psychic reader, 2,800 people.
Right.
Yeah, so think big, think broadly, and of course there are the people who will drive 5 hours to find you. I have some people coming out from New York. I have people coming up from Los Angeles, and you know, the more they know you and the more you tell them that you're available through the Internet, the farther they'll fly, drive, walk, and crawl to find you. So distance is, you know, the distance is no object here. They'll come. If you build it, they will come. So best of luck to you. And I want to follow you along, and I keep on telling you, someday soon you're going to be in air. I keep on making you promise me.
Yep, you do.
All right. I'm just going to keep on... I'm just going to keep on yanking your chain there. Can I get a witness here, Conjurman Ali? Don't we want him in there?
We definitely do.
It's been archived. So.
Yeah, right. All right. Someday we're just going to grab you, pick you up, and carry you off like, you know, a bunch of dwarves in a mine.
Mm-hmm.
Come to air. Join us.
All Newt right. napping.
I'll let you be on that one. Countryman Ali, how are you today?
I'm doing lovely. Thank you for asking. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm having a happy Valentine's Day.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, you having a happy Valentine's Day?
I am. Have some wonderful plans. Started off quite well, but we have much more plans after the show is over. My girlfriend and I, so it'll be quite fun.
Oh, good. All righty. The mysterious girlfriend. Well,
how about you? Any big plans?
Oh, no. You know, this year, Nagashiva just said something very interesting to me. Usually we go out for Valentine's and, you know, mm-hmm. spend a few bucks, feel special, get waited on. And he said today, this morning when we got up, he goes, I'd like to have Valentine's at home. I'd like to make dinner for us. And I'm like, wow,
aww.
What a Valentine's Day present that is. So I don't have to get all, you know, dressed up. I got my nice jewelry on and everything, but I'm going to stay home and wear my nice jewelry at home.
Oh, that's lovely.
And have my darling lover with me. And that means no driving to and from. We just get to have the dinner, and then we get the whole evening to ourselves. So that's good. And I'm
that
looking
is.
Forward to that. Yeah, it's the best. And the other things I've been up to, I've been editing John St. Germain's book on crystal work. I can't call it crystal gazing because not all of it is gazing. Projection, reception, healing, you name it. This book has got it all. It's got a list of crystals. It goes on for page after page, what they're good for, different stones, different techniques of meditation, different techniques of using the crystal to have silent influence or work over somebody's mind. Different forms of use of the crystal to receive blessings. It's a really good book. It's going to be one of our 96-page books, and it will be given away free at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, which is May 14th and 15th, 2016. And John will be leading a workshop on the subject of crystal magic. This has spells in it. It has history. It's just packed full. It's like he covers so many things in one book. It's like it's just an amazing read, and I'm very happy to be editing it. So I'm up to page 63 out of 96 with my editing, and I hope to get done within the next day or two. And then we're going to have a beautiful cover by Gray Wolf Townsend, and we're ready to roll on that one. So that's what I've been doing. I have not been down in the shop hardly at all. I have a pile of books for them to get me to sign. And, hey, any of you guys in the Lucky Mojo shop listening, bring me the books, will you? Walk them up the stairs and put them at the head of the stairs. You all know who you are. Dave, you listening? Heidi, get me those books to sign because they won't ship, you see, until I sign them with my little autograph. Come on, bring them on up. I know the radio show is on down there. They're listening. We'll find out if they do bring them up. All right. Well, that's it for me. Now, the other things that have been going on here is just the usual. You know, it's beautiful weather, and we're anticipating cleaning up the railroad layout after that big storm that, you know, damaged some of the track. And we're going to be having Daniel Smith come and work on the railroad. And I think that's about it. Let's bring in our guest here, Miss Michael. How are you, honey?
I'm pretty good right now. Can you hear me okay?
Absolutely. Hear you just fine.
Lovely. Okay. It's been quiet around here because, you know, my life is pretty quiet. I like it that way, away from the storm and tussle of the big, wide, histrionic world. Here's your word for the day. Struggling with yarn.
Yarn.
Yes. Oh, God. You know, my knitting posts have been getting a lot of attention on Facebook, so I really don't need to say much here. But the project I showed off last week, I've had to restart about 3 times since then. But it's behaving very well now.
Well, good. Well, I just got to give a little footnote here, because some people never heard this show before. This is the first one. They picked it out of the blue at random because the subject matter interested them. They need to know who Miss Michael is. Miss Michael, I've known you for so many years now, and she lives up in the countryside of Northern California, a few miles away from me, but not a convenient few miles. It's a long, windy road to get between where we are. As a crow flies, it's actually fairly close. But you're out also in the country like we are, and and just sort of in a little hick burg. And you're a little Miss Yarn. As long as I've known you, you've been knitting. And one of the very first projects you ever showed me was a doll that you had, I believe it was crocheted, that doll? Am I right?
That's right.
Or did you knit it? It was crocheted, yeah.
It was crocheted because I haven't been knitting quite as long as you've known me, almost as long. Started knitting after I moved up here in 2008.
So before that, it was all
babies.
Crochet?
Yeah. I don't sew doll babies. They're all knit. It now hurts to hold a crochet hook, so I knit all of them now. Because if you cut cloth wrong, well, you've wasted it. You've got to start with a new piece. But if you're... pattern, your knitting is the wrong size, you can unravel it and not waste the yarn. So I feel much more confident about that.
I've seen your little things, and they are so cool. And this is this kind of goes to something, although you're not going to be the teacher of the workshop, but this goes to something that we are having a workshop at the festival. Gabrielle Swain, who is a noted fabric and textile artist, is going to be doing a workshop called So Much Hoodoo, S-E-W, So Much Hoodoo, about the use of needlework and the domestic arts in hoodoo. Bring along a couple of your doll babies. Maybe she can pass them around too, because although she's not going to be teaching knitting or crochet, it's part of the reality of hoodoo. Hoodoo is a domestic magic. It's a domestic art, and women have been the leading proponents of hoodoo, as they are in many religious practices and in many magical practices. And so in the old days, many people in hoodoo would know exactly how to prepare that yarn or thread. And another one who knows this is our good companion, Aura LaForest, who talks about taking the yarn and dipping it in whatever precious fluids you're going to dip it in, and I leave it to your imagination whether it's going to be for love or money or for something, health, whatever, and then using that yarn that you have prepared that way and let it get dry and knitting people gifts. And talk about a sneaky trick, you know, because with every stitch you take, you're putting something into it.
That's right. So, I'm going to see if I would like to bring a doll and let Gabrielle Swain show it off if she wants to. I'm going to see if I have any clients, old retired boyfriend on a leash dolls.
Ah, boyfriend on a leash dolls. Well, now, y'all listening to this, if you need a boyfriend on a leash doll, now you know who makes them. I mean,
and
everybody has their own way of working. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's exactly what it sounds like, but I take care to use really sparkly, pretty yarn for the leash. So boyfriend is happy.
give him a nice little suit of clothes and let him think he's walking himself.
Let him think it's a silk tie, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's some work, I'll tell you. Well, today our actual panel discussion is going to be on frogs and prints, frog and prints. How do you tell the difference between Mr. Wrong and Mr. Right, or how do you turn that frog into a prince? You know, the old saying about you had to kiss a lot of frogs to find the one that is a prince. And some of us ladies, and some gentlemen as well, have been through the frog kissing episodes to the point where they're just ready to figure out how to find that prince without kissing any more darn nasty frogs. But I will say that not every frog is a prince. So the question becomes, how do you tell Mr. Wrong from Mr. Right? Now, I'm going to catch us up to the reality of hoodoo here by just chopping off a section of this. We're not talking about how do you tell if a guy is a psychopath, okay? That's a social issue, right? If you can't tell if your boyfriend's a psychopath, dump him, okay? Right. Psychopath, go. Gone.
He probably is.
Right. We can't take a guy who's cruel and abusive and physically violent to you. We're not going to make him into a mm-hmm. prince. Just chop him right off. Boop, off he goes. He just falls off the edge of the table. Okay? Let the dogs eat the bread that falls from the edge of the table. Okay? So we're not going to be talking about that. We're not going to be talking about the guy who abuses children, the guy who marries a married woman so he can abuse her children. Chop him right off. And I wish someone had done that in my childhood, because my mother married one of those, and I was one of those abused children. So just chop him right off, off the edge of the table with him. These aren't even frogs. These are garbage, okay? So we're not going to be dealing with that kind of thing. Okay, because there's always a few ladies who go, oh, but if only I could turn my psychopathic, abusive, child-abusing boyfriend into a prince. I know he had... No. Just chop, chop, chop. Off they go. Now, what we're left with is the people who are suffering, laboring under a burden of care and woe, maybe not trusting because they were hurt, maybe didn't have all the advantages in life. They look like a frog, but they could be a prince. And so that's where we're going to start with those guys, the ones we did not chop off and feed to the dogs. So take it away, Miss Michael.
Okay. One thing I want to say is that some of those vipers, cobras,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
have some mighty good camouflage.
Yes.
So even if they can't, they may start out looking like a prince, and then they may go to looking like a warty old toad frog, but they're cobras mm-hmm. inside. And mm-hmm. they often seek out women who are spiritually nearsighted, so to speak.
Good job. So
and then they will confuse you. Before we dismiss the cobras altogether, let me suggest a couple terms for people to Google if they're having trouble in love, just to rule this out for themselves. Darth Vader boyfriend. You will find that on the internet. Gaslighting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Yes, there's a lot of that going on. And by contrast, Golden Retriever of Love, you will find that on one site. And it describes perfectly what happens when you just fall into love. You fall into this wonderful relationship with someone who's probably a prince, even if he is the Four of Pentacles and he has no jewels. But at mm-hmm. least you've got a crown. Yeah. A lot of good men are like that. A lot of good women, too. But
mm-hmm.
and you just kind of go galumphing after them like Golden Retrievers do. And you're pretty mm-hmm. wonderful yourself because Golden Retriever, come on. And it just all kind of fizzles out. And that's not a bad thing. Sometimes Mr. Right is Mr. Right Now and not an opportunity to be missed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mr. Right,
I'm going to say something about this, too, about what you call spiritual nearsightedness.
Yeah.
This is a real problem for ladies who have been hurt and who are reaching the end of their young adulthood, and they think, if I don't jump now, I'll never get anybody. Lady, you will. You can find someone at 75. Don't worry that. Don't sweat it. It's not about this is your last opportunity. Just relax and be inside your own skin and inside yourself and ask yourself, is this really what I, do I have to accept this thing? I've heard so many women say to me, well, you know, I hadn't had a date in 6 months, so this guy was here. Yeah, and this guy's a drug addict, and he's, you know, shooting heroin in the back room, and now he's talking about taking porn pictures of your daughter. Okay, for real. I mean, and you're like, no, you did not have to take that. You could have waited another month and found a good guy. So part of this is about setting your expectations high enough for your own queenly self.
That's right.
Don't be, the lady who gets the prince is the princess, right?
Mm-hmm.
And together mm-hmm. they make themselves king and queen. They crown each other. So
that's a great way to put it.
Yeah, so don't start off with a feeling of valueless. Don't be that little Cinderella in the ashes there and saying, oh, I can only get this and that and the other. No, you have what it takes, but you have to, do your due diligence. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to bring up something here, and some of you will know what I'm talking about and some will not. A lady we read for on this radio show a number of months ago a woman I know pretty well. I've met her face to face. She called, and Ali will remember this because, Ali, you read with me on this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband was diagnosed with a very serious illness. And she wanted to know if he would live or die. Do you remember that? Remember that,
mm-hmm.
Ali?
Mm-hmm.
And our cards were very sad. He would die. And we told her so right on the air. And I felt just sad and sick to my stomach. I just thought, I hate to give her this news right here on the radio. He's going to die. And I know that she took it to heart. And I thought, I hope I haven't jinxed him, you know, by saying that. I know the man. Well, she is a very brave and very faithful and very godly woman, and a woman of great integrity and discernment. A lovely, lovely lady. One of the nicest people I've ever met. She said, I'm going to stick with him, and we're just going to go through this journey together. We will never give up. So they went through this journey together. She married him. They married even as his sickness got worse. He had cancer. And she married him. And it broke my heart to see that, because I knew that when the marriage came, I knew that the illness was on their minds. And things just, you know, there were good days and there were bad days, and things got worse and worse. And finally, just recently now, this man passed away, much mourned by everybody, many friends, people all over the country saying, I loved him, he was such a great guy, lovely person. Well, the one thing he did not do was he did not leave a financial accounting for her. He'd always taken care of his own money. So she got together with a couple of relatives of his and stuff, and they were going to look for what his bank accounts were, where the money was, what the things were, because he'd kind of gone down in condition very rapidly at the end. And they found, and not just her now, they found evidence of his dozens of illicit sexual companions, some of whom were reading her tear-stained blogs about his sickness, some of whom were trying to get him to let them see him at the hospital and get her out the room, all of whom he was sending messages to, including selfies while on vacation with her, in which he claimed that, she didn't love him and they were just friends and there was nothing between them and blah, 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 blah. And she's like, What happened? Well, I can't say I told you so, because she never asked me that question. She never asked Ali that question. She just said, what's going to happen with his health? And I wish she had asked the question, what's happening with him? But what she found out was that all her years with him, before the marriage, during the marriage, and up to his final illness, he was cheating on her the whole time. Now, if a woman that beautiful, that educated, that sincere in her heart, and that loving a person could be fooled by a rat bastard like that all those years. And we're talking severe. We're talking he had a sick obsession is what I'm saying. It wasn't just that he had some other girlfriend. He had girls in the country. He had girls in the city. He had girls, you know, waiting in the alley. Okay? If a woman like that can be deceived, all of us can be deceived. So listen carefully when Miss Michael says spiritual nearsightedness, because we can be misled with our own love and our own heart. We look inside ourselves and we just feel so full of love and devotion, and we project that onto that toad frog.
Yeah, that's a cobra. That's a cobra who's a gifted artist, but he's nobody's prince ever. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Most cobras don't have that much patience, organization, or quite that level of guile. The kind of cobras I usually hear about are when the new girlfriend comes to me and asks, how can I help him with the fact that he's about to lose his house, which is falling down anyway, and he's not eating properly, and he's a hoarder. And he says, I don't love him. And I had one client who said that he didn't trust her. He was sure she was cheating on him, and she wasn't. And she said, he won't believe me until I confess to him that I'm cheating on him, which I'm not. So I said, so in order to get him to believe in your honesty, you have to lie to him. And then it was over. Then it was over. She was free.
Okay. Can I have a question I need to ask. This is because we left on. This is a very important topic, and I think it's very, very necessary to talk about kind of knowing the differences and also not falling for the idea of a person versus the actual person themselves. And this can be a very tricky game, right, where you often see one person as a prince when in reality they're a viper, as you mentioned, versus you see the other person, you go, oh, well, he's definitely not a prince. He's just kind of a Joe Schmo, when in reality he has the potential to be a prince. And we're running out of, we only have so much time, so let's actually talk about, and this is a question I want to ask both of you ladies, is how do you discern the difference between the two, and what can you do to transform the frog, not the viper, into a prince? So I want to open that up. Ms. Michael, since this is your topic, if maybe you can start us off, what are some great ways to identify magically, spiritually, whatnot, the difference between these two individuals, and also to really bring the prince out in a frog?
This is why I tell my clients to add King Solomon wisdom to all their love work from in front, not just to filter out the vipers, but to open the spirit, the third eye of both the princess and the frog. Okay? Now, I've been married to my beloved little frog prince for 40 years. It's longer than that now. I think it's going to be 42 years this summer. But anyhow, he's had a tough childhood. We've been poor most of our adult lives. He's had pain to struggle with, and it's made him short-tempered, and sometimes it's made it hard for him to see my point of view or the point of view of people he's angry at. But he always he'll sit down after a blow-up, after an emotionally hard time, and he will work on himself. And sometimes he'll talk out loud, and sometimes he'll talk to me, and he will, you know, he's always coming closer to the golden rule. So after the blow up, he gets back to, you know, the prince that he was, and sometimes closer to the ideal state of princehood. It's a guy who is willing to learn from his experience, from your experience, to go, oh, she didn't think that was funny. She was traumatized. I'd better find some other way to make her laugh. Because what I want her to do is be a happy kitten. And princes know that you also need to feel safe as well as to be dazzled. They understand that you need to be the Queen of Pentacles who is generous with her heart and her resources because she is free and secure. They may not realize they know that.
I like that turn of phrase. I think that a prince knows you need to feel safe, not just be dazzled. That's a real good way to discern. I second the idea of King Solomon wisdom. I also use clarity for this.
Yeah.
And I am not above doing some divination on a person.
Yes.
And
yes.
I've told this story before. I've been through many, many different relationships. If I told you the number of men I've had sex with, you'd think I was a slut. But I'm not going to tell you. So you can just imagine that number, and it's probably higher than that. So having said that, I was looking for a husband after having, you know, several marriages, love affairs, casual sex, you name it. I've been through all of that. And when I met Nagashiva, my husband, he came to see me at Lucky Mojo, and he was saying, well, what do? You make these oils. Let me smell them. I'd like to have a bottle. And I said, well, here's your test. I'm going to show you all the bottles with no labels and smell them, and you pick the one you like the best. He picked Stay With Me. That's for real. He picked it. I said to him, well, you just pick Stay With Me. And he goes, that's good. I like that. So we had a communication that took place on a spiritual level. I didn't force him to pick that one. But that is a test that I would use. I would, you know, get yourself a little few of these things and just say, which one do you like the smell of, baby? And if he says, kiss me now, you got a kiss me now kind of guy. And if he says,
you can be
peaceful home. If he says peaceful home, you've got a peaceful home kind of guy. I got to stay with me kind of guy. And now, funny thing is, that man is in the kitchen on the label. And here's my man. I just told you he's going to be making me dinner for Valentine's. So we got a man in the kitchen. And you know one of the things he told me? That woman is at the stove in that label, and the man is sort of pulling on her apron strings. And he said, that's how I learned to cook, hanging on to my grandmother and my mother's apron strings. So there you go. He really did pick it. And he never saw the label. He only smelled it. Only smelled it. Trust your magic, you know.
Yeah, I have a similar. Divination is definitely a really good way of discerning who is the right person for you or not. One of the things that is kind of a twist on an old folk magic practice is you make a dittany of Crete, and you put it into a pot, actually, and you add a couple drops of love me oil. Then you take 7 rose petals, and you pray, Lord, let me know who is Mr. Right. You can do this when there are a few people in the picture, or Mrs. Right, that's fine. Or you can do it when there's a few people in the picture, or you're unsure about that one person. And then you sprinkle the rose petals onto the kind of tea and oil mixtures and let them float. You can blow with your breath a little bit, blow your prayer onto it, and then see what initials the rose petals make. And if it makes the initials of your lover, you know that's the person. They love you, and they're meant to be with you. And if it doesn't, it makes a different initial, then that's someone else, or you're going to be waiting for a future lover. So it's a really good way of determining whether that person is for you. And I just want to add one other thing, is once you find out if that person is right for you, there is a second step here. Right, it's not just finding the right person, but it's also recognizing that not everyone is going to be princely in the sense that they immediately dazzle you. Some people are just hardworking, loyal, loving people. Right, they may not shower you with jewels or gems or whatnot. So there's a few things you need to recognize here. One, treat people the way you want to be treated. So if you have a lover that you truly want to be your prince, then treat him as a prince. And then he should reciprocate and treat you like a princess. If he doesn't, there's the problem. There is a great little practice that I teach a lot of my clients for people who are in relationships. And it should be done every few months or so. It's a good way to really open both people up. It's about reciprocal love and treating one another right. What you do is you draw yourself a lover's bath. You make some nice, warm, run a bath. It can be a bubble bath, whatever you want. You add a few drops of come to me, love me, and stay with me oil. I prefer doing the oil method in this rather than dissolving crystals, but you can do the crystals as well. Then you are going to add just a little bit of tea from Damiana and Lovage Root. It's to really get the passion going and to make everyone reciprocal and love. You're going to cover the bath with rose petals, both pink, white, and red. And you can surround the bath if you want with candles if you want to make it really romantic. And you can anoint those candles. And what you do is you actually bathe one another. You get in the bath together and he bathes you and you bathe him. It's about affection and love and worshiping one another's bodies. You get out, dry yourself, make love, use a little bit of that bath water, sprinkle it around your house. Do this ever so often, and it's about opening up one another, about really being reciprocal and treating one another as prince and princess or king and queen. It's about that balance. It shouldn't be just you treating them wonderfully and them never reciprocating. So something to do once you do the divination is to do some magical work to open one another up.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful work and spoken like a true and faithful man. So I got another one I'm going to throw in here as for how do you turn the frog into a prince after you've done the divination. I've long been an advocate of various forms of what are sometimes called neo-tantra, which is a kind of a cobbled up word. It's not Asian tantra yoga. It's whatever. Sacred sex would be a better term for it, but they stuck it with the word tantra a long time ago. Carezza is actually another term for it from the Italian for caress. There's a website I have at Lucky Mojo called Sacred Sex. It's luckymojo.com/sacredsex.html. Check it out. And in there you will find a lot of ideas similar to what Ollie was talking about, practical ideas about managing your sex life in such a way that it becomes spiritual. And in these modern times, when a lot of ladies will have sex at the drop of a pair of panties, before they find out what the guys really like, and again, I include myself among that kind of lady, it helps to use the actual sex act as a form of divination.
Mm.
And read the pages and you'll get some ideas about how to do this. Now, there are women who want to keep their purity and or virginity, or hold back a little bit on the sex end. I'm a great, taste their wares kind of person. But if you want to hold back on the sex, you do have a problem, because everything else may be really great, and you may have found the perfect golden retriever, but the horse don't run. And so you got a problem there, to mix my metaphors. So you want to at least consider, will the person allow themselves to be touched if you're not into having full-on sex until you get a commitment? Will they allow themselves to be touched, handled, fondled, things like that? If they won't, they may never be good in bed. Just a word from the wise here.
That's a really good point, is if you're going to hold off a little bit, right, and not just necessarily because you want to get married, but you want to hold off, right, you want a few months or whatnot, that's fine. In fact, everyone has room to grow, and eventually it's about exploring one another and knowing what the other person really likes or doesn't like, right? But the key is touch, right? If they're really uncomfortable with touch or fondling or caressing, that is an early warning sign, right? So even if you're not willing to have sex yet, that touch aspect is so important.
Yeah. I'm going to throw in another one. Get your horoscopes done. Get the get a combo horoscope, and there's many people who can do it. And Ollie does it. Deacon Millett does it. Professor Ames. There's many people who can do a combo horoscope for you. See what your strengths and weaknesses are as a couple. And another thing that I like to do about the prince and making sure that the man has room to become that prince that he really is, is think of him that way by a conscious act of decision on your part. Don't be always belittling. Build him up and he will, become that prince that you know he is. Mm-hmm. Well, we could have talked about this for more and more and more, but it's Valentine's Day, time to think of love. Now we're going to be right back at the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour. We're going to take some calls from clients. We're going to do a couple of readings and see what we can do to help.
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, and this week's special guest, Miss Michael, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, I'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. Our first caller is calling from area code 619 in San Diego, California. This is Solamente. Solamente, are you there? Solamente.
Uh-oh. Do we have Solamente? Going once, going twice. All right. Well, since we already had Solamente's question, I think we should just go ahead and read the question, and we'll just do Solamente can catch us on the repeat later. Okay.
Certainly, Ms. Katz. And they write, my current employer has eliminated my position due to financial loss of the company. I have applied with a city position in my county, and the position is promising and career-oriented with plenty of lateral options. I want to retire from this new endeavor. I have received email confirmation that I met the requirements to test on March 17th, 2016. There are several tests and processes to lead to this position. I need guidance to secure this new career. Turn it back over to you, Ms. Kat.
All right. Now, as I understand this, of course, can I ask the Solamente what sign they are? And I cannot find out exactly what is the city position, so it's a little vague here. But what I'm going to do is to do three cards, and I'm not going to say will you get this or not, because that wasn't the question. The question was, what can I do? What's my guidance? So what I'm going to do is use the cards for a different purpose than many people think the cards go for, and this is something that I've taught and used a long time, and other people I know who work with cards, some do this and some do not. I'm going to look at the cards strictly from the point of view of what kind of work, in other words, magical work, should this person do, regardless of what the cards are. Does that make sense? All right. Number one is a victory card, Six of Wands. Well, wands are fire, and wands are candles, so anything having to do with flame. The man on the horse is triumphant, so that's a good cause for belief that there will be a victory possible. And he has a laurel leaf or bay leaf wreath on his head, and on the pole that he carries, he has another bay leaf. So bay leaves are absolutely indicated. Now, bay leaves also relate to things such as your resume, your career credentialing, your academic background. So now we've got a couple of things going on here. We have proof of academic excellence. We have proof of certifications or whatever is on here on a CV that will give that proof. So we're going to work with that paper, and we're going to work with bay leaves, and we're going to work with candles. That's number one. Okay, does that make sense? I hope it does. The idea is we're going to build a spell based around these cards, and I hope that I hope that Ollie's going to listen to some of this. Okay, now number two is also wands. It's the Two of Wands. So now we have a person holding a globe of the Earth in their hand. Mm. Well, in front of them there's an engraving of roses and lilies. Okay, so more herbs. Roses and lilies, and the earth, and then there's a more wand, more candles, that would be, and this person is planning their future, planning ahead. So I would guess now that we want to get some dirt, because we have the globe of the earth, we want to get some dirt from where that job would be, okay? And the roses, well, that would be something to make you attractive and loved. Lilies, there isn't really a hoodoo use of lilies. They're kind of an ephemeral flower, but I would say that you would want some sort of a white flower. You could use jasmine, honeysuckle, any of those things. And so what we're looking at here is a kind of a floral tribute as well, but with those bay leaves. And we have that earth. And then the third card is another card with roses on it and more herbs. This is the card of strength. Shows a woman taming a lion. And the lion is looking up at her and licking her hand. And she's got a little infinity sign over her head. No particular form of element is indicated here. But she's dressed in white. And she has a wreath of herbs and she with flowers. And she has a waistband and a leash by where she ties this this lion with roses. So again, roses have come up. And so I'm looking at this. And my answer would be to formulate a spell that involved candle magic, that involved dirt from the place that you were going to go to, that involved bay leaves for keeping your head straight, that possibly involved using the petition paper. You would use your resume and the, you know, whatever it is that you could get in that regard. And again, strength is another, it's a lion, it's Leo, so it's another fire issue here too. So I'm really looking at a kind of flaming type of work. Something that might be burning while you go for you know, the tests and the processes that you got to go through. Now, there are multiple candles here, and these wands all would represent candles. So I would say you want to be burning something fairly continuously up until that date of March 17th. And as far as the tests go, looks like you've got it covered, but as long as you keep some bay leaves around you. So that is my take on it. Now, I could add one more thing from these cards, and I would say that there is a little bit of an issue here with the middle card. It's a person who doesn't quite have a way of conveyance. There's something a little missing the boat here, and I would be make sure you get there on time. Don't show up late. That's all I'm saying. That card has that little warning on it. Don't be late. First card is great. Third card is great. The third card says you should tame your emotions, and you should also be prepared to tame those who are you're dealing with. In other words, treat them soothingly. Keep your voice to a soothing musical level. Do not raise your voice. And that is a nice thing. Now, we're going to turn this over to Miss Michael, who's already jumped me in the chat room, and she wrote in the chat room, Psalm 20 would be a great psalm for this work. So many good signs and cat's reading. All right, Miss Michael, take it away and tell us what you would guidance you would give this person.
Okay, yeah, Psalm 20. Use that in your petitions. Write out the psalm. It's a short one, or at least some verses from it, the ones you like best, and write your command to all the interviewers and all the personnel department on that, but I'll leave the rest to Ali. Now, what else does the Bible want to lead us to? Here we go. Here we are in 1 Samuel 17. Ooh, oh, this is nice. This kind of goes with the triumphant nature of the Six of Wands. Saul, King Saul, armed David, little David, with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head and armed him with a coat of mail. I would say you need to aim to show your competence, to show that you can wear that armor, that you know how to handle the tools that you're going to be given, the weapons against whatever problem the business is in the business of solving. So do hit it, work with your resume, hit your competence really hard. I'm going to turn to the words of Jesus because he's always on our side. And I land in the book of Mark, chapter 2. I would say add psychic vision to whatever work you're going to do. You need to be able to see into their hearts to predict whatever objections or subtle or tricky questions they might raise, because I land on Mark 2, verse 8. Immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, they were trying to trip him up, he said unto them, "Why reason you these things in your hearts?" So when they ask questions, kind of peek under the outer layer, so to speak, to discern what they really want to be told, and tell them as much of that as is true. That's
okay.
My reading.
All righty. I'm going to throw in something else, too, that just occurred to me because I was writing up the cards for the chat log, and I realized when I said about Six of Wands, I said there's a lot of candles, but that's also a lot of supporters. You might want to have somebody burning candles for you on the day of that test. In other words, you need supporters to have pray to at the Crystal Silence League and have other people praying for you on that day and have candles set for you on that will be lighted on that day, not to be lit on that day, but that you would have a few days ahead so that they would be going on that day of the test. All right, well, let's turn this over to Conjureman Ali. How do you see it?
Thanks, Ms. Gad. As you were talking and mentioning all the different things that this root work should have, I was formulating a plan of sorts. So I have a blueprint of a working that I think would be quite useful in this case for Salamate. One thing that I want you to do is, as Ms. Gad said, go to the job site, wherever it is, and get yourself some dirt, right? So leave a couple coins. I was taught that no matter where you get dirt from, even if it's not the cemetery, you leave coins to the spirit of that place. It's just what I was taught. So that's what I do, and that's what I teach. So you go out to, whether it's a magnificent municipal building or if it's an office building, whatever it is, get some dirt, bring it back. And what you're going to do is you're going to set aside a place where you can do this work. You're going to take the dirt and you're going to form a bit of a crossroads. You're going to sprinkle it out in the form of an X. In the center of that, I want you to place a jar. A mason jar is something that you can use. Then take your application or your resume or whatever it is, whatever paper it is that is being turned in or that they're going to see. You're going to put your employer's business card in there. If you can't get one, print out their logo from online. Put it on the application. Put in the middle of it some bay leaves, five-finger grass, deer's tongue, rose petals, because Miss Cat mentioned it, and to make them like you, cinnamon. Fold this up and place this into the mason jar. Cover it with sugar and close it. Now place this mason jar right in the center of that crossroads, okay? At each hand of the crossroads, I want you to put an orange vigil candle that you have anointed with road opener oil. You are going to light them in a clockwise fashion, asking for all your roads to be open, all obstacles removed, all delays undone, and so that all things move smoothly. You're then going to take a green or a yellow candle. You're going to write your name, the position that you want, and your boss's name or the hiring manager. Anoint it with attraction oil, steady work oil, and place this on top of the jar in the middle. Light that candle as well. While you have this going on, have a backup candle set at Missionary Independent Spirituals Church so that you have a total of 6 candles. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
4 of the vigil candles that you yourself are doing, 1 candle that you will burn down daily, and another vigil candle that is going continuously at Missionary Independent Spiritualist Church. Now, you're going to keep the vigil candles ongoing, and you're going to pray over it daily. And when you pray over it, you're going to set another candle on your sugar jar, and you're going to burn it down every day. You keep doing this until you get the job that you want. So this would be my recommendation. I'm going to ask if Ms. Cat or Ms. Michael have any further suggestions on this. But this incorporates all the elements that Ms. Cat was talking about, the herbs, the roots, the dirt. And it's something that you want to keep ongoing. Now, when the vigil candles burn down, make sure to read them. See if there's any signs or omens on there. What's great about this particular looking is because you have 4, you'll see which direction it may come from. There's all sorts of divinatory promise here. You can look directionally. Oh, well, this candle burned a little bit more dark than this candle did. And so you can focus on that. So there's a variety of different things they do. When a vigil candle burns down, they usually burn down, unfortunately, 5 days now, even sometimes 4. It used to be 7 and more. Replace it. So you keep those vigil candles going, and you keep lighting the candle on top of the jar until you get the job that you want. Okay? So let's see if Ms. Michael and Ms. Cat have anything further to add to this.
Wow, I really like this. I'm going to add one little comment. You said a yellow candle or a green candle at the center. There is a real fabulous candle that is half yellow and half green. And it's,
oh, wonderful.
Yeah, and it's used for job getting. It's a great little candle. They come in sort of a golden yellow and green. So that's a real popular candle for job getting. Everything else you said, that I don't have anything else to add to that. How about you, Ms. Michael? Anything to add to that?
Yeah, I got something. I want, before you start this, Conjure Manali's wonderful spell, when you've got all the ingredients together, you've filled that jar, take out a pinch of that sugar and some of the herbs and set that aside before you close it. Take a pinch of dirt from each end of that little crossroads that you're going to build with the dirt on your altar. Reserve that. You're going to take a little piece of paper and write out Psalm 20 on it, and on top of that, your commands for getting that job. And you wrap the herbs and sugar and dirt in that, and you're going to wear that in your shoe on interview day, your right shoe, and tap your foot during the interview. You may need to make several of these. I believe that there would be no problem with opening the sweet jar to take another pinch of sugar out if you need to.
Mm-hmm. So you can open up the sugar jar as much as you need to. In fact, it would be ideal that when you go for your interview, you actually open up the sugar jar and you add a little bit of that sugar in your morning coffee or your morning tea.
Yes.
Or if nothing else, stick your finger in there and lick the sugar and say, as the sugar is sweet to me, so will they be sweet. May my tongue be sweet and may they be favorable to, and may their ears be favorable to what I say. Right? So you use the sugar actively. You don't need to keep it in that jar. You can add it in. You can open it up. There's no issue with that.
Yeah, that's really good. I would say the bay leaf is important here too, and I would add a whole bay leaf to that packet in your shoe. And sometimes people will write on the bay leaf with a pen if it's if you got a little pen and if you got small handwriting and a little pen, you can write your wish on that bay leaf and it works very well. In these cards, the bay leaves are also worn on the head. Nowadays, most people don't wear a hat to work. It's just not considered a thing that we do anymore. We have so much indoor life, we don't need hats anymore, I guess, the way we used to. So there's no way for you to put that hat in your inner hat lining, but that would have been something that would have been done on the day when you would have worn a hat. And anybody who is going for a job where you would wear a hat, that's how you would use that bay leaf there. And you could put one in your shoe and one in your feet. Okay, so that's another possibility. Deer's tongue also, of course, would go in the shoes. And deer's tongue is for good speech and for to be convincing to people and be admired and to sound right. So all of these things working together, you're not going to lose. These cards are good, and the bibliomancy was good, so it all looks pretty well. It looks like there's going to be a good thing. As I said, the only problem is the idea of missed connections. And I'm going to say one more thing here. This, for some reason, we don't know the reason, this client missed the connection to be on this show.
Very true.
And it's just true. And we got a missed connection card, which is the Two of Wands. So when I see that sort of thing, I'm not going to, ball up the whole thing and throw it away and say, this will never work. But I'm saying, watch out for missed connections. Just watch out for that. That's important because the card told us about it. We saw it happen here. But all the best to you. And I think you can pull it off if you just make sure that everything is smooth and easy running. Rehearse yourself through that spell and rehearse yourself through that test taking. Okay? So I'm just, like I say, nothing is a foregone conclusion, but everything here looks really nice, really nice. There's always a little bit, something to be to be watched for. Sweet Woodruff in the chat room says, Sweet Woodruff used to be worn in helmets before going to battle. And that's why your name is Sweet Woodruff, baby. Sweet Woodruff is also known as Waldmeister or Master of the Woods. Very good herb for conquering over competitors. One of the things we did not ask about because the client was not here was how many competitors there were. And I think that Sweet Woodruff is a very good addition. Thank you, Sweet Woodruff, for giving us that. We have a lot of people in the chat room. We have a lot of people kibitzing and giving some stuff here, and I want to thank everybody for doing that. Ana Gabriela is there, Alchemical Artisans Hour, E.F. Still, a ton of guests who are just named guests. Hocus Ex Pocus, Jaya Dania, Jimbo, Navy Nurse, Reverend Dr. Sweets, Sean Laveau. Hi, Sean. Supernatural Radio, Two Moons, Vicky Trancho, and Sweet Woodruff, of course. So thanks all for kibitzing. And we're going to turn this over now to Papa Newt, and we're going to have another reading coming right up and after our announcements.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is calling from area code 707 in California. This is Janet. Janet, are you there?
Hello.
Hello.
Yay.
Oh, I see you're the first time calling in, so welcome.
Yes, thank you. All right. And I see that you have not gone to Ms. Catter-Conjurman-Ali on this situation or have gone to any other readers. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. And we had to abbreviate your description a little bit for on-air readability. And Janet writes, my ex-husband hired someone to severely curse me starting about 7 years ago. Since he visits a dozen states per month, it could literally be anyone, anywhere. I have had a number...
Uh-oh. I'm still here, but I lost...
We lost Papa Newt. I'm going to just read this because I have it right here. I've had a number of symptoms from this, including confusion, breaking things I touch, losses of money, and unnatural phenomena. 4 weeks ago, I did Lucky Mojo's reversal spell with mirror, then buried in a graveyard. All of the cross conditions disappeared until 3 days ago when they began again. What should I do? All right, I'm going to ask Janet a couple of questions here. I always do ask, what sign of the zodiac are you?
Aquarius.
Aquarius, good, all right.
Oh,
and about how old are you?
43,
okay, so you're not an old little innocent girl who's, you know, been watching movies and got scared. You know what's going on here.
No, ma'am.
All right.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'm going to, before we go to the reading, I'm going to put something in your head that you might not have thought about.
Okay.
You're asking what you should do, and we're going to get to that. But it may be, there are spells, and I don't know because you've never posted on the forum, and I don't know you know how much you know about this work. There are spells that are set as, some people call them rinse and repeat spells. Some people call them recurrent spells. And it may be that you are actually, when you did that mirror spell, it worked, but then the spell was on repeat. And sometimes those spells are timed to astronomical events. So just something to give you something to think about. But
okay,
let's turn this over to Conjurman Ali and see what he has to say.
Thanks, Kat. I actually wrote, dang it, Kat. It came up in my reading.
I jumped you, huh? Sorry about
no,
that.
No, but, you know, Kat is one of those wonderful readers who's very intuitive, and her and I often share very similar thoughts when it comes to this. So she's actually right on money with that. I've pulled a few cards here. Now, I'm curious, you live in California, you said, right?
Yes.
Up in Northern California?
Yes, I'm pretty close to Kat, actually.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, 707, that's our area code.
I'm doing some type of directional thing right now, and I'll be able to point in a direction of where this is coming from or where the root worker or the professional did it. So I've pulled a few cards here. The first card is the Three of Swords. The Three of Swords is a very bad card. It's a card of pain and suffering and anger and wrath. And it shows us a heart that has been stabbed three times, three areas of your life that are being affected. This work that's being done on you is not meant to do one thing. Often when you do some type of crossing work or you do some type of revenge work, it usually affects one thing, right? So you send the emotional pain back, you ruin someone's job, or you break someone up, right? This is a work that's meant to do more than one thing. It's three things that are being stabbed. This work involves some type of pins that have been stuck into you and kept there. The next card that I have is the Moon, and this is what Kat was talking about. It is cyclical. It is tied to some type of event astrologically. It may very well be the Moon, but despite the literal name of the card, it may be something else astrologically, but I do get a strong sense it's the Moon. So certain phases of the Moon will trigger this, and you can actually time this. If you pay attention to the phases of the Moon and some astrology, you'll know when it starts or when peak hours are, so to speak. The Moon also tells us that there is a problem at getting this off of you because it is time. He's somewhat made this work unreachable to you, right? So we have two canines howling up at the Moon, and so there's this disconnect, an inability to really reach what's been done and undo it. So there is a gulf between you and that person power-wise in regards to who holds the keys to the situation. In fact, the fact that Papa Newt was cut off reading your situation is a very clear sign that someone doesn't want you getting help. So this may get actually, you might find that things don't just come back, but they might get a little bit worse after you do your reversal spell. The third card that I have here is the Magician. You're likely going to need a professional, someone who is powerful and strong and who can bring their will to bear on this situation and break this curse. You need a professional to help with you. You have some power yourself, and you can do certain things, which we will mention on the radio show, to alleviate your symptoms and your problems, but you really need someone to get in there. Now, I pulled another card just to see what type of work was being hinted at with the third Three of Swords, and it shows us the Hangman. So this is some type of dull work that's been done. You've been bound. Your arms are tied behind your back. You're probably hung in a tree around a cemetery. You haven't been buried, interestingly enough. More often than not, this work usually involves burial at some place where there's a tide, so that the work keeps getting, this is, because we do this work, so I can tell you how it's done. It usually involves something being buried in a tide, whether it's a river that overflows, whether it's the ocean. The whole point being that the work is refreshed constantly. But here, you're up out in the wind. Right, so you're being blown about, and it's been stuck with needles in specific places to cause bruises and bleeding and confusion, and there's one very clearly in your mind. Now, I did look at this directionally-wise, at the where this is coming from. You said he travels quite a bit. I get a very strong sense that it is from someone in the south. I'm getting the impression of Georgia here or somewhere along that side of the world. South, east is kind of the impression I'm getting. It may not be the exact state of Georgia, but it's in that particular region that this person has been hired. He may have hired them long distance, but this person has done the work. It's set, it's timed, and it is being renewed over and over. So you need someone to break that connection, to break through that, and then your reversal work and reversal work will start to take effect. So that's what I see here, and I'm going to turn this over to Kat, who's going to do our next reading.
All right. Well, I have
Miss Michael is doing the next
reading. Miss Michael's doing the next reading, but I have a question before we go to Miss Michael. I got the first two cards you said, the Three of Swords and the Moon, and you know I missed what your third card was.
The Magician.
The Magician. Oh, my God. So somebody professional was hired. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Sorry, I missed that completely. Okay, so let's go to Miss Michael for a reading on this.
Okay. Lee was talking and I was listening. I was looking at my crystal spheres. I have a little amethyst one, and the only thing that stood out for me in that one was lots and lots of little birds, and they were all flying in the same direction. I'm sitting facing north, so they were flying west from the east, as Ali said, from Georgia or similar, that part of the world, somewhere on or not too far from the east coast. So that would make sense, and it told me not only that the spell is coming from there, but you are being watched and observed from afar in the spirit. Okay. And, you know, there might even be little messengers carrying tales back and forth. Uh-oh, Janet's doing much too well. It's time to do some more work to ruin her life. So this may not even be only one spell. Makes perfect sense to me that it could be a recurring spell, as Kat and Ali have described, but it might be more than one spell. In the pyrite, I saw two seated figures, one you and one your professional magical helper, and they're seated on the ground, and there's a network as if of roots leading down to an underground chamber. So you might want to get help from someone who works with the dead or takes work to the graveyard. Somebody may need to be helped to meet their maker before they'll leave you alone.
Wow.
Yeah. And a card, I was shuffling my cards just to wrap everything up here, and one card fell out of the deck. It's the Five of Cups. In the deck I use, the Golden Tarot, the person seated on the ground grieving over the spilt wine is a bishop. The cups are placed in such a way that he's kicked two of them over. He is to blame for his own misfortune. The curse is showing up in the forms of actions that you take that go wrong. So that's just confirmation. And hovering in the corner over the bishop's head is a black angel, a little black angel. So you might want to get some Tibetan ghost purging incense in addition to whatever Miss Cat prescribes. But there is a consoler in this picture, a priest of lower rank, with his hand on the bishop's shoulder, looking very concerned. Pick a root worker who impresses you as someone who will sympathize with you and understand your situation. Look, you know, just not looking at the biographies on air, but look at from those who attract you, who seem comfortable to you on air, look for their posts in the Lucky Mojo forum, and if they talk about having had to deal with situations like yours, those are probably good choices for you.
All right. Wow. Well, you guys have thrown a lot in my lap here. All right. And I'm seeing it pretty clear. And what I'm getting with these images and these cards and everything is that, yes, I hear it's come from the east and goes to the west. That makes sense. And it's cyclical, maybe tied to the moon or to lunar calendars or to water that rises and falls. It is definitely tied to the dead. It is tied to birds. And I think that a spirit of the dead has been put on you to hound you somehow. In other words, there's a this is something that comes from a well-practiced magician, somebody who can be hired, maybe more than one. And so there's going to be the mirror is a good thing, and it worked, but here's the problem. Everything you said, the mirror worked until 3 days ago, and then everything came back. So what's happening is there's more than one vector here of the curse. Now, I would advise you of one thing. Very few root workers will put on a curse for life on somebody without some justification. They know they're going to meet their maker someday, and they want to go with clean hands and justify themselves. But they will do a little this or a little that, and you can always find a, you know, some, you know, thug root worker, and really that's what they are, thug root workers who will do a little curse for a few bucks. However, usually those don't last all of your life. They're going to just do the minimum they can do to produce the effect that causes the client to go, hey, you really hit her hard. I saw what happened. She fell. But usually they're not going to throw their whole chance of salvation away at a few curses. So the good news is that if you can get in all of this stuff, you can undo it. But it may take more than one attempt. And that is why I think we were seeing these signs that you need a root worker. You need someone to help you. And we have a couple of things in the chat room here. Contraman Ali says it's definitely going to be a battle. He says, I think a doll was hung in the tree in a cemetery. And Alchemical Artisan's Hour keeps on coming up with the city of Savannah. So we got some ideas here, definitely some interesting ideas. And I would recommend that you work with somebody who is a specialist in taking off curses and reversing curses. Problem is, if you reverse them, they only go back to the root worker, unless you know, because there's usually a little layer of, I guess you could say, protection there that is going on. You might have to just take the X out. This is a definite situation, yeah. And you must hire somebody to help you. And I'm not saying this just to make you waste your money, but you're not capable of doing this completely yourself. So I would recommend that you do what Ms. Michael said. Look through the readers. Don't go to some crazy person who's going to be online and say, for $1,200, I can cure all your problems in 24 hours. Please, trust me, that will not work. That's just a scam.
Okay.
So you're going to need a lot of work, and you're going to need two things. You're going to need to build yourself up as well as to knock this thing out.
Okay.
And part of that building yourself up is to put more protection around yourself. Do not do any uncrossing work that does not also involve strong protection and mental strengthening exercises for yourself. The things you described were ways of weakening yourself, confusion, breaking things you touch, loss of memory, and other unnatural phenomena. That means to me that you have been victimized and in a way have become complicit in your own victimhood. And I think that's kind of what my Michael was getting at with some of these ideas of what she saw too with those little birds and stuff. I want you to have a good understanding of your own power. And so you're going to need a worker who will do two things for you. Someone who will send back the material, give you some reversing stuff and keep on working with mirrors. It obviously works. But also build you up so that your spiritual immune system, as it were, is not so easily compromised. Because that's part of why this is working and why it has worked for 7 years. That's a long time to be under a curse.
Mm-hmm.
7 years is a long time. Now, I've seen people under a curse for 15. I've seen them under a curse for 20, and I've seen them finally sicken and die. Not because that the person who cursed them wasn't even necessarily still doing it, but something was set in motion that involved a dead spirit of evil. Now, in some people call them, in Spanish language, muerto, meaning a dead spirit. And it is possible to sprinkle somebody with or get them involved with the spirit of a dead, angry murderer, just as an example. A serial killer, just as an example. This is one reason why serial killers are buried in places where no one knows, because a serial killer's dirt is valuable to an unethical practitioner, because that guy still wants to kill and kill and kill and kill. And you get a serial killer's dirt, you can go pretty far with that. And I'm not saying that happened in this condition, but I'm just saying there are things that can be set in motion that are recurrent for a number of reasons, one of which is that the spirit themselves wants more victims. Okay? So be careful here. And what I would do in the first place here is to do some baths, and on a regular basis, clean your house and do some baths. Investigate getting a root worker rather than me giving you another spell that I think you may need help with. Just work to keep yourself clean, cheerful. Ask for God's blessings. Recite and write down by your own hand Psalms number 91. If you can make four copies of Psalms number 91 and put them at the four corners of your house, that is a very good thing to do. You can put four silver dimes with them. And if the dimes turn black, you know an attack has gone on immediate. Conjure Manali says, put a Bible open to Psalms 91 under your bed. Very, very good thing. And you're going to take that and leave a pair of scissors open, point up, on that Psalms 91 under your bed. Ali and Michael, do you have anything more to add?
Yes, I do. Janet, your area code is 707, I believe, so that means you have access to the coast. You may have to drive. Get some seawater and take uncrossing baths with some of that seawater in it on the waning moon or near the waning moon, and blessing baths with that seawater with the waxing moon. And if you can, see if your house is situated right, you know, the moon shining in through your window, your bathroom window, would be a great thing. If not, expose that water to the moonlight the night before you take that bath.
Yeah, that's good, because the moon was implicated. That's very, very good. And
possibly the sea too.
And the sea, that's right, because the moon goes with the tide.
Yeah, covered both bases.
Yeah. All right, Janet. Well, I hope we were able to help you, and do stop by the shop if you're in the area, or go see Miss Michael. She's out there in Willits, and that's a 707 area code as well. And we hope for all the best for you. All right. We're going to come back with our free spell as soon as we've heard some of our beautiful recorded announcements.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30; Candela's Corner, starring Candela Cambisa, Mondays 5 to 7; The Crystal Silence League Hour, hosted by John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6; In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7; On Sacred Ground with Kai Armand, Wednesdays 5 to 7; The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30; and Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. All time specific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
Now it's time for our free spell with Miss Michael of HoodooFoundry.com in Willits, California. Take it away, Miss Michael.
Okay. I found this spell while I was working on the wonderful book I wrote with Professor Porterfield, Hoodoo Bible Magic. And I found it on the Lucky Mojo Forum. Mary B. posted it. And this is just an extra beautiful thing to add to a honey jar that you would make in the beautiful way, in your usual way with all your favorite blessing herbs and love herbs and things. But so you gather your ingredients together and you get a piece of honeycomb, you know, with the actual wax and everything. You lay the honeycomb on a cookie sheet and you squish it flat. And on a clean piece of paper, write out your favorite verses from the Song of Solomon. Just read that short little lovely book and pick the verses that suit your case. Write them out and write your personal petition right on top of the scripture you copied. Fold it up, put it in the center of that flattened honeycomb. Wrap the wax up around it and push it down into your honey jar with all the other stuff that you would usually put in. And light your candle on top and work it in the usual way.
Wow.
And I found out that Mary B. learned that from Mama Star.
Wow, how interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is one of those reduplicated spells. It's honey inside of honey. And that's a great way to work. So the honey comb becomes the petition packet, okay? And so you're going to put that inside the fluid honey. Just make sure everybody understands what we're talking about here. Now, I'm going to relate this to a spell that I love that's similar, and that is one that Zora Neale Hurston mentioned, which is sugar added to honey. So again, the idea is of reduplicated sweetness. And Zora Neale Hurston mentioned this. There was a honey jar into which sugar had been placed. And I know of another one, which I was taught, which is where you take honey and you put sugar cubes in it. And so the idea, again, of reduplicating honey into honey is great. But in this case, the honey comb is being used for the packet, basically, the packet wrapper. Okay.
You're carrying the energy of the candles into the honey into the inside of the jar too, because beeswax makes what? Yeah,
beeswax makes candles. That's absolutely correct. Yeah, yeah. That's a very neat, nifty way to work, and a good, strong way. Now, this is for a honey jar for love, and since our thing here was how to tell the prince from the frog, what I would do with this is I would the prayer that I would make on it particularly would be for discernment and for the one you love to be his or her very, very best, to show you all the love that they have and show it to you immediately. In other words, you don't need to wait 2 years to find out what they're like. They're going to show it to you now. And while that candle burns, it's a good time to talk to them. And, you know, on the phone, by Skype, by text, in person, whatever, and just let them speak while that candle carries your prayer on the air. And so they will know that that they're speaking really directly to your heart at that time. They'll know that on a metaphysical level, okay? So I love that spell. It's a good one. And I love Mary B. for passing it on and Star for giving it to Mary B. Yeah. All right. Do you have anything you want to add to that one, Contraband Ollie?
No, I don't have anything to add to it, but it is a lovely spell. When you mentioned the sugar in honey, that reminds me of a kind of something that a woman I knew did a long time ago, and she used to use sugar cubes to represent all the different men she kept around, and she had a little, I don't know what you'd call it, a stable, whatever you want to call it, of men that kept coming around and absolutely loved her. And what she would do is she would take the sugar cube, name them for each of them, kiss the sugar cube, pass it between her legs, and put it in a honey jar. And that's really all she did. She had a bunch of these sugar cubes in the honey, and they all could not get enough of this woman. And simple working, straight up, but it was sugar on sugar. The other thing I like about mixing with sugar is sugar and cinnamon. You don't see a lot of these days, but in addition to mixing sugar with honey, but there's another way of mixing another kind of element, and that's sugar and cinnamon. You can make a nice sugary cinnamon mixture, and that's also for love, but it's a little spicier love. It draws in passion. So there's alternatives to just the straight-up honey jar and sugar jar that we all love and use.
I'm going to say something, too, about honey. Honey comes from different flowers, different plants, and bees, of course, make the honey. And one of the honeys that we're all very familiar with is clover honey, because clover is a widely grown pasture plant to feed to animals such as cows. It's high in protein, and so it's good for cows. Therefore, we have a lot of clover. Therefore, we need to have a lot of bees to, you know, keep that stuff going, and we have a lot of clover honey. There's also wildflower honey. And there's also very specialized honeys like tupelo honey, which is sweeter than any other honey. It literally is. I mean, you can look it up. Tupelo honey actually is sweeter than honey, than regular honey. There's Texas tarbrush or whatever you want to call that, very brownish black honey. I love to use that for court cases. And all of these honeys have subtle meanings, I guess you could say, and subtle plant essences in them. So if you're going to go out and purchase honey, spend a little time thinking about that. What is that honey? Orange blossom honey? Very popular one from Southern California and Florida where they grow the orange trees. Orange blossoms are used in bridal wreaths. Therefore, orange blossom honey would be a great one to get for a marriage, wouldn't it? And do you think about these things, don't just take any old strained honey. I mean, if you got to take the time to do it, add the honey to your repertoire of magical tools. Now, if you can't afford honey, just use sugar. If you can't afford sugar, I don't know what you're going to do. Get it, get some pancake syrup or whatever. Any of them will work. But the more intentions you could stack on them, the better, because we kind of layer these things together. And a good worker will figure out ways to layer them together like that. How about you, Miss Michael? Anything else that you have a thought on this?
Well, I have seen sage honey from time to time. You're more likely to find that in health food stores, and that's great for adding wisdom to your love work.
Absolutely. What a great idea.
Yeah, and speaking of adding,
that in the chat
speaking
with
of using,
honey.
Yeah, using inexpensive sweeteners, white corn syrup and food coloring.
Uh-huh.
Pink for money, pink for love, green for money.
Great. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, we're coming to the end of the show, so I want to thank you for that free spell. It's a great spell. And anything you can do to add to the discernment so that you know what you're looking at, get that person to speak to you while that candle is burning. All right. Well, I'm going to turn this over to Papa Newt. He's going to give us our announcements, and then we'll come back and say goodbye.
Thank you, Miss Kat and Continental Lee. And thank you, Miss Michael of HoodooFoundry.com in Willits, California, for being our special guest this week. Tune in next week as we'll have another special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Reworkers, who will be Marion Graves of MarionGraves.com in Grass Valley, California, bringing us the topic, Stopping Self-Sabotage. Once again, we've come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Fortville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali of conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from papanewt.com in Columbus, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Papa Newt. Lovely to hear your beautiful voice. Thank you, Miss Michael, for being our guest.
A pleasure.
It's always wonderful to hear from you. And I know that you're going to be at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival May 14th and 15th. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And,
looking forward to it.
And you're going to be on the Justice and Social Magic panel. That's something coming up very important. Let's get ourselves somebody else in the Supreme Court, okay?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for being our co-host, Countryman Ali.
Always a pleasure.
It's always nice to hear your voice. And I'm going to be working hard on these books, and we're going to be getting everything ready for the festival. See y'all next time. Good night.
Good night.
Happy Lover's Day.